Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this service of worship at Faith Community United Methodist Church. It is good to be with you this morning and to enter into worship with you on this All Saints Sunday. We have a gratitude challenge that we are participating in with the food bank that is providing meals for families that are in need for Thanksgiving so that they can have a Thanksgiving meal. And we want to see how many of those meals we can provide. Our goal is for us to provide 35 of those meals, but I wouldn't be surprised if we can provide even more. A $10 donation provides the turkey for the meal, or you can also bring in things for the side dishes. We have a collection over here on the side of the room and also out in the narthex, and you can offer your financial donations or the food that you're bringing. Make sure that that all comes back in within the next 2 weeks so that we can provide those meals for Thanksgiving. Our church conference will be held on Tuesday, November 10th at 6:30 p.m. here in the community center. The church conference is the meeting that we have each year where we talk about the vision of the church, set the pastor's salary for the coming year, elect our committee members and officers for the coming year, and also deal with our membership roles. So I invite you to come to that church conference. All members of the church have a voice and a vote at the church conference, so I invite you to join us on Tuesday, November 10th at 6:30 p.m. here in the community center. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join together in our call to worship. Come, all who are thirsty, whose souls are fainting. Come, all whose troubles seem overwhelming.
The source and creator of all things welcomes us. God hears our cries and is ready to help us.
Come, all who are pure, upright, and blameless. Come, all who dwell day by day in God's realm.
The Messiah has more to teach us. Jesus turns us from seeking honor to humble service.
Draw near and hear the word of our God. Open your lives to the Spirit who fills all things.
We sense the presence of truth seeking to enter us. We feel the love of God eager to embrace us.
Let us worship God. We're going to sing together for all the saints, and we're going to sing the first four verses.
For all are thine. Alleluia.
If you please remain standing, we are going to affirm our faith this morning using the Apostles' Creed. Please join with me in affirming our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And I invite you now to join with me in praying together our opening prayer. O God, our true home, we come together to unite our stories with those of our spiritual ancestors. Some of us have come from desert places, desperate for nourishment. Some of us come from places of abundant harvests, and yet are not satisfied. You are among us all, a living God, present in ways we have not yet realized. We come to learn, to let what we learn mold and change us, to find courage and energy to live by your direction. We bring our joyous worship, confident of your welcome to us. Amen. Let us join now in singing our prayer hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. This is All Saints Sunday, and so we are honoring and remembering those saints of this congregation who have passed on to glory in this past year as we read their names in prayer and light a candle in their honor. we remember and honor Gail Adkins. Helen Thornburg. Paul Kushwa. Dorothy Beard. William Shaw. Betty Galtice. Roger McCullough. Nancy Hornick. Virginia Fowler. Ronald Lewis. Betty Thayer. Susan Thompson. Alice Stoker. Robert Swigert. Joseph Samanis. Martha Supp. Barbara Ekstrand. Mary Lee Holmes. George Knight. Dolores Strauss. Let us pray. O gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for these saints of your church, saints of our lives, who have led the way for us. We thank you for their example in the faith. We thank you for their love, the joy that they brought into each of our lives, for the ways that they strengthened and nurtured this church and our families and friendships, and for your love that works in them, for the eternal life that you have promised to all of your saints. We give you thanks for these and so many others that have gone before us to show us the way. Those who have been mothers and fathers in the faith to us, those who have been our teachers and examples. And we thank you for those who you have placed around us to encourage us even now, and whom you call us to minister to in the same way. We pray that your Spirit would work through us so that we too can be mothers and fathers in the faith to others, so that we too can be teachers and leaders and examples of faith. Help us to nurture and encourage one another. Send your Holy Spirit upon this church, upon all of your people. Lord, we thank you for the ministries of this church, all of the ways that we're able to minister to one another and to reach out to others with the gospel message. And we thank you for commitments that have been made, financial pledges to support the ministries of this church. And we pray your blessing upon those financial commitments. Bless them. Bless us. Strengthen us to remain faithful to those commitments, to remain faithful to your church, to remain faithful to your call upon us. May all that we do witness to your glory, to your grace. Lord, we pray for one another and for this country in this time of election. We pray that this whole process will be peaceful. We pray for results that bring honor and glory to you. We pray for your will to be done in this community, in this state, and in this country, and indeed around the world, as you continue to show us the way and to bring your kingdom upon this earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, as we offer to you now the prayer that he teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Draw me nearer, nearer.
Thank you. If you are able, I would invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel, which comes from Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. There's an old saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." It's kind of the hypocrite's motto, isn't it? I want to be able to tell you what to do, how to live your life, but I'm not going to allow myself to be held to that same standard. That's the textbook definition of a hypocrite. My first boss had a little bit different spin on that old motto. I'd do something exactly the way he told me to do it, and then he'd realize that that's not really the way that he wanted it, and so he'd tell me, "Well, do as I meant, not as I said." That "do as I say, not as I do" motto, it's in clear contrast to the way that Jesus instructed us to live. "Let your light shine before others," Jesus said, "so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." In other words, live your life in such a way that other people can see the gospel being lived out in you. They will see that model of goodness in your living, and they'll give glory to God because of it. "Let your yes be yes and your no be no," Jesus said. In other words, mean what you say and say what you mean, and by all means live according to your word. Integrity. That would be a good word for the kind of life Jesus wants for us. Faithful. That would be a good word for the kind of people that he calls us to be. In contrast to that, Jesus calls out the scribes and the Pharisees. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." The word hypocrite that we use today comes from that Greek word that Jesus used to describe the scribes and Pharisees. Back in those days, it was a theater term. It was a word used for an actor in a play. The actor was usually wearing a mask, and in the play, he assumed a role that was not who he was in real life. Jesus used that image of an actor behind a mask to describe the religious leaders. They were actors. They were playing a part, hiding behind masks, pretending to be someone completely different from their true life persona. In our reading for today, Jesus was speaking to the crowds and to his disciples. He was teaching those who had chosen to follow him and the crowds of people who might consider following him. And his instructions to them in regards to the scribes and Pharisees was this: do as they say and not as they do. The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, Jesus said. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. It's not the scribes and Pharisees who were saying, "Do as we say, not as we do." They never would have said that of themselves. They didn't realize that there was anything wrong with the way they were living. They thought they were doing great, that they were exemplars of faithful living. They were not. They were not exemplars of faithful living. They were puffed up, prideful of themselves. They were all about calling attention to themselves while disregarding those in need, those whom God had commanded them to care for. They paid no heed to justice and mercy, Rather, they focused on position and power. They were hypocrites when it came to God's law. Still, Jesus told his followers, do whatever they teach you and follow it. Do as they say, not as they do. Why? Why did Jesus tell his disciples to follow the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, those bunch of hypocrites? That's not usually how we respond to hypocrites. We don't usually listen to the things that they teach us. We don't take seriously the things that they say to us. Why should we? They're hypocrites. If they're not going to live by it, why should we? Why should anything they have to say have any bearing on us if they aren't living it out themselves? Here's the thing, though. The scribes and Pharisees were not wrong in what they were teaching regarding the law of God. They were the ones who studied the law day in and day out. They were the ones who knew the law better than any others. The people who couldn't read for themselves or didn't have the time to devote to that kind of study because they were out working in the fields day in and day out, they relied on the scribes and the Pharisees to teach them God's commands. And the scribes and the Pharisees did a pretty good job of it as far as teaching goes. The problem is, they didn't live it. That was Jesus' concern with them. That's why he called them hypocrites. That's why he said to them, woe to you. Because it doesn't just matter what you believe and what you teach, it matters how you live. And that was Jesus' concern for his disciples and for his other would-be followers. He didn't want them to just know the Word of God. He wanted them to live the Word of God. And so, despite how most of us would tend to write off a bunch of hypocrites, Jesus said to follow what they teach. But do not live as they live, Jesus said, for they do not practice what they teach. The way of Christ for us is integrity. The way of Christ for us is faithfulness. We are to embrace the truth of Christ as our Savior, and then we are to live with Him as our Lord. We can't do that of our own strength, but we can do that by His Spirit dwelling in us. As we abide in Him, as we allow His Spirit to abide in us, His life becomes our life. His character becomes our character. And then the fruits of the Spirit grow within us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is what makes a saint. The Spirit of Christ dwelling in someone to make her Christ's own. Today, the first Sunday of November, is All Saints Sunday, a day when we remember and honor the faithful ones of this congregation who have gone on to glory in the past year. It's a time, too, for us to consider what makes someone a saint and whether we ourselves are on that same path. Let me just say that a saint, according to the biblical usage of the word, is not a perfect person. It's not someone who has no flaws. A saint is not someone who is holier than thou or in some mystical sense closer to God than anyone else. A saint, according to the biblical usage of the word, is simply a Christian. Any Christian. Every Christian. But let me also point out that by Christian, I don't just mean someone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean someone who trusts Jesus Christ for their salvation and who has surrendered herself to Christ in all things. Someone in whom the fruit of the Spirit is growing. Someone in whom the character of Christ is revealed. Someone who is allowing the light of Christ to shine in and through his life. That is what I mean by Christian. And that is what makes someone a saint. For those saints who have gone on to glory, we rejoice in the promise of resurrection. We celebrate the gift of eternal life. And we remember the example they set for us, the impact they had on us. We thank God for faithfulness, for love, for memories, for laughter, for healing, for peace. Most of all, we thank God for Christ. Christ, who is the hope of us all, who is our salvation. We thank God for Jesus, for it is only through Him that any of us can even hope to gain eternal life. It is only through Jesus that any of us could ever be declared a saint. Because we are not perfect, at least not on our own. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect. Our departed loved ones that we remember this day were not perfect. They all had their flaws. It's okay to be honest about that. It's even okay to laugh about that. Sometimes it's comforting to laugh at some of those imperfections and to remember them for who they truly were. But don't ever say, oh, she was no saint, or he was no saint. Because all those who are redeemed in Christ are made perfect by His sacrifice. The righteousness of Christ is given to them. The sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross wipes away every blemish from our lives. Every sin we've ever committed, every mistake we've ever made, all of them are washed away in the blood of Jesus. If your loved one knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and was surrendered to Him, then he was a saint. She is a saint. Praise God. Going back to our scripture reading for today, verses 8 through 10 could easily be taken out of context. In those verses, Jesus instructs us to call no one rabbi, to call no one father, and don't be called instructors. I used to wonder how Catholics could refer to their priests as father when Jesus says clearly not to do that. But if we're going to be literal about it, then we don't do any better. I mean, we call plenty of people teacher and instructor. And when Jesus says, call no one on earth your father, he doesn't specify any particular context for that. He just says, call no one on earth your father. Presumably even your own father, if we're going to be literal about it. A surface level reading of these verses just makes no sense. What Jesus is getting at is the way that we tend to view people differently, the way that we tend to treat people differently based on the different roles that they play in our lives, forgetting the primary role that God plays in all of it, and the fact that all of us are equal before God. The word rabbi in Hebrew literally means my great one. When someone referred to a teacher or a revered figure as rabbi, they were literally calling them my great one. So if you want to call me rabbi, I'm okay with that. No, actually I shouldn't be okay with that. No Christian should desire to be called my great one. Jesus referred to Christians as these little ones. Not my great one, these little ones is what a Christian aspires to be. Jesus says those who want to be great must be least of all. He said all who exalt themselves will be humbled. He talked about being a servant or slave to all. Being referred to as my great one is the very antithesis of what it means to be a Christian. So rather than exalting one another in that way, Jesus tells us to recognize that there is only one truly great one, God. None of us is the great one. All of us are brothers and sisters. The word Jesus used, it's translated in the NRSV as students, but the word that Jesus used is actually brothers, not students. We are to see each other, no matter who we are, as siblings. Siblings. We are all equally members of a family that's created not by genetics, but by Jesus. It's not the blood in our veins that we share. It's the blood of Jesus that we share that unites us. All of us are siblings in relation to God. All of us are on the same footing in relation to God. Likewise, with the word father, when Jesus says, call no one on earth your father, he's not discarding the reality of earthly or family relationships, Rather, he is emphasizing that those earthly relationships have nothing to do with our standing before God. All of us, regardless of our station in life, have one and the same Father, our Father who art in heaven. Which means, once again, that all of us are siblings. All of us are equals in relation to God. These people that we remember today, these saints of God that we honor, some of them were teachers to us. Some of them were instructors to us. Some of them were like mothers and fathers to us. It's good to remember that role that they played, the impact that they had. We thank God for teachers, leaders, role models, exemplars in the faith, mothers and fathers in Christ. And we should be mindful that some of us, dare I say all of us, are called to fill those same roles in the life of someone else. To someone else here, you are a teacher. To someone else here, you are a mother or father in the faith. To someone else, you are a saint. But that doesn't make any of them or any of us any more holy than anyone else. It doesn't suggest that any of them or any of us have a more direct line to God or a more exalted place in God's kingdom. All of us are on equal footing when it comes to God. All of us are equally subordinate to Christ. Our holiness comes only from Him. Our righteousness is His. Our sainthood is His doing and not our own. So have no concern for exalted titles or special treatments. Don't treat other persons as better or more important than someone else when it comes to life in the church. And certainly don't seek that for yourself. It's the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees who are concerned with such things. Our part, your part, is simply to remain faithful to God, who is our Father, to Christ, who is our rabbi, our great one, and to the Holy Spirit, who is our instructor. Humble yourself so that God may exalt you along with all the saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you should happen to see me doing otherwise, well, do as I say, not as I do. Amen. We come now to a time of Holy Communion. We're going to be using these prepackaged cups. If you didn't get one on the way in, you can go get one from the table right over here. I would remind you that there are two seals on this. The top one is a clear plastic seal that holds the bread in, and then the bottom one is another seal that holds the juice. So when it comes time for the bread, make sure you just take the clear plastic one off the top first, and then we will receive the juice after that. And we will receive that together after we have shared together in the prayer of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we have named before you this day. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I invite you now to take out the piece of bread, the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. Now the juice. The cup of salvation poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and drink in remembrance of him. Gracious and holy Lord Jesus, thank you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Thank you for your grace that washes over us. Thank you for your Spirit that fills us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to empower us from this day forward so that we may be inspired to holy living, so that we may live as your saints. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in singing our closing hymn, which is Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and sins, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good.
Go now to live that life of joy and peace because of your salvation in Jesus Christ. Go as his saints. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.